And we spent the winter thinking about how we would, what changes we would make, which included cutting down the legs of the stage, which had been at 2 meters as it had been created for the tent, as you said earlier, and we put it down to 1.2, so it was nearer to the audience and more immediate. Yeah. And we made some other changes before we went to do a back-to-back Norwich-Brighton with no rehearsal.
But I over that winter, we also just decided that there was a bit more mileage in it. So I applied for a separate Arts Council grant.
We did, yeah.
For three more venues on
three more. But do you remember Bill G? I saw him recently. Bill G came to Stockton and hung out with us. He was already interested and he signed up to having that as part of his festival. He was in our application and he started that interest by coming to spend time with us. Yeah, really, just last week he said, I know you because of those conversations that we had and I understood something about the things that interest you. That's what he said to me last week. It slightly freaked me out because I didn't. It's like, what did we say? But I remembered us sitting there in the tent in Stockton, spending time with Bill G and him being around and wanting to support it.
Yeah, so we applied for the funding for three more. So that year we did Norwich in sub-zero temperatures.
Camping in minus two and working in 0 degrees in
and
the day.
And then to Brighton to 30 degrees. And then we did Taunton.
Well, wait, so we did Norwich and Brighton in the early summer in May. That was in May. And then we had a gap and we went into phase two. Then we went to Glastonbury. Do you remember? We didn't do a Park Life residency, but we did do the Park Life show in Glastonbury.
Yeah. With Circa Columbia.
They were our collaborators. And that's how we met those performers and we integrated some of their performers into the show. And then in August...
We did Taunton.
No, we went to Pontardawe because we'd built ourselves another creative development phase. So we had 10 days in Pontardawe, a bit more possibly. So and we had much less community engagement. So we were in Pontardawe and we had new cast members and we did proper creative development. So at that point, we brought in a whole other set of research objectives or creative development objectives for that phase. And perhaps what we haven't said is that it sounds like we were just making it up as we went along, and there were, and in a way we were, but our research process was properly managed and we had clear objectives that we were trying to explore after that first one.
Yeah.
This is what we want to focus on. We want to explore how we might integrate or build in a narrative frame into this so it becomes a coherent piece of theatre as well as integrating all these people. We want to more better integrate the community.
But also at that point we were already going... From the first three, we kind of know what works from the what type of groups that we want to target in the communities as well.
But actually, Ali, think back. So during that whole time of 2010, somewhere around the beginning of 2010 or end of 2009, we went for it. We applied or we put ourselves forward to be commissioned for the Zeppa project, and we went for an interview in London. And I remember that Walk the Plank were interviewed as well, and we saw them in the pub. And we showed pictures from Park Life, which must have been from Stockton.
Yeah.
And on the basis of the Park Life that we'd done in Stockton, they decided that they wanted to invite us to put together a proposal. They wanted to commission us or work with us. And we started going backwards and forwards. So I think at the beginning of 2010, before we did Brighton and Norwich, we went to visit all the Zeppa partners and we did our grand tour of French creation centres. Blow your mind. Hang on a minute. You mean they spend years making this work and it's supported in this way? And what I remember is that I asked questions that I would ask of a British partner or consortium. What are the outputs that you need to achieve? What are of those outputs do you need us to be delivering to? A whole bunch of stuff that the French people just stared at me like... Why is the artist lead asking us these questions? We don't even care about the answer to those questions. And it was absolutely shocking to realise that...
You're free just to make art for whatever art's sake.
But also that as creative practitioners, we have been shaped by the conditions in which we've worked in our career, which are all the stuff that we've talked about already, the funding, the match funding. As the creative leaders, we have been intimately involved in all those challenges, because that's what you have to do here in the UK. And to realise that in France it's not like that, and you can just have ideas and be supported to make them, was really, really shocking and very exciting. How brilliant. And the reason I remember that is because then the Zeppa partners came to Parklife in Brighton. Do you remember?
That's right, yeah.
They all came and they saw...
So it was such a busy time. I mean, you know, that was crazy, wasn't it? Because we were applying for the Arts Council money for the second phase of Parklife, negotiating with Without Walls, going to meetings in France and all over the place.
Yes, and in parallel, so this was the really challenging... the most challenging part was that we were negotiating with Zeppa, who originally invited us to put together a proposal for whatever it was that we wanted to do. And we gave them a few options, and they, you know, we ended up with a sort of an idea, and then we costed it, and then they started arguing amongst themselves, really, about what the who was going to pay for what and how the cost should be broken up. So where we started a conversation with a total pot, make us a show and tour it to 9 venues for this much, then actually each partner had their own
agendas
that related to their partnership funding. So, look, nearly a year later, you have got some partnership outcomes that you need to meet. And that's what we were asking you about in the first place. And it became very, very contorted. And the last bit that nearly killed us, if I remember rightly, was that there was a massive shift in the currency.
Yeah, and we lost
conversion, and we lost 35 grand from our budget in one day.
Yeah.
And we were going grey over this. We were completely stressing. It was the most stressful time that I can remember, that bit. And we had meetings in London with Sean at the National Theatre trying to solve the problem of the currency fluctuation. And for some reason, the Zeppa partners were frustrated with us, as though this was somehow we were the ones who were being difficult. And we couldn't understand why they were seeing it that way.
John Paul was huffing and puffing and going, well, take it or leave it.
Yeah, we went to him with the last meeting. He stomped out of the meeting. And he said, either you accept our terms or it's finished, it's over.
And we were like, completely
ground,
not.
But we couldn't do that. We'd never been to a meeting where anyone stomped out like that. Yeah. And afterwards, the other UK partners said, oh, yeah, yeah, it's not a good meeting if someone hasn't stormed out. But we were really shocked by the whole thing. And all of this time, we were now preparing the second phase of Parklife, and we were being in Glastonbury, and we were... It was a really full-on year. And what I remember is I got very freaked out, and I remember saying, we have to have a plan. We've got to have a project plan for how we're going to manage all these different threads of activity. And you and I then sat in the front room, whether it was you and me and someone else, was Duncan there, I can't remember, but we made this huge plan where we worked backwards from everything.
When we've got to be doing that in this bit.
Yeah, and that was that year. That must have been for 2010. It'd be quite funny to dig out that document. Of how are we going to manage all this stuff? Because I remember just feeling quite freaked out.
I remember being quite stressed that year as well.
And we had to really change how we planned things. It was absolutely, the only way we could do it was to work backwards and figure out, if we haven't done this by this point, then we won't be able to do this and then we won't be able to do that, rather than planning forwards, which is perhaps what had been the general normal thing before. And the worksheet that came out of that was this completely terrifying timeline.
So should we just talk about Barricade for a minute, or because there's still Barricade and Open House, which is all informed by the same desire, really. For
well, we span off basically. In Parklife, we created the potential for four or five different shows. We evidently proved to ourselves and to other people, were able to convince other people that we were able to produce high-skill circus work on a scale suitable for an audience of 1,500, never mind the rest. And the Zeppa Commission enabled us to pursue that and to create a concept for a show and in that framework of a very free situation. We haven't got time to talk about the Barricade experience, really.
No.
But just to conclude that, and then the other part that was a huge innovation, really, was how to package, communicate, talk about, organise, mobilise, and evaluate professional participatory practice for outdoors. And that really is the thread that takes us all the way back to Stepping Stones. And I feel like that is the work that you and I have shared over nearly 20 years, it will be eventually, of shaping the involvement of people to a professional quality, and with open house being able to almost seamlessly move from a professional performance of world-class standard to a professional performance involving a wide variety of people at different levels of experience, and including community groups, community participants, and then seamlessly move to an invitation to the public to participate and for them to be the spectacle. And that's the journey that we've been on, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of that was from playing around in the park in Stockton.
Yeah.
The material that was, you know, the ideas and the thought, and, oh, yeah, this works. This is how we can do workshops in, you know, so...
Well, how to organise it, but also how to describe it to partners and to the public of how can you get involved, how to frame the invitation, how to frame what it is in a way. That's what we've been evolving in parallel with the production of high quality circus theatre on a scale that we couldn't possibly have anticipated when we started this journey. That with Barricade, in the end, it performed to an audience of 10,000 people at a time. Is I remain gobsmacked by that.
It's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, it really has.